Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The preacher and the teacher. Mustard and Johnson. It's Mustard and Johnson on the WEEI Sports Radio Network. Talk all things socks, pats, B's and C's right now with Mustard and Johnson on the WEEI Sports Radio Network at WEEI.com.
Hour number two, Mustard and Johnson. The sun is out finally after a couple of days.
I thought the sun ain't going to shine anymore.
Oh, I love that song. Walker Brothers, 1960. I didn't ask you to sing it. It's okay to identify it.
You're just upset because I can sing and you can't.
I can't sing, I can't dance, and I can't jump.
Yeah. And you put you're a racist.
And I'm a racist.
Yeah. And one of your
Grand Slam.
And one of your family members has been out with a lot of men.
could you
pray
that alone, please? As I said,
by the way, I got a bone to pick with you with your sports trend. You did not inform our listeners that Tremont Waters, taken in the second round, had the largest hands in the draft for a point guard.
Really?
Yeah.
Good. So why is that important?
People need to know that.
Okay. Largest hands of any point guard taken in the draft?
Yes.
Okay. So the Celtics, obviously, on Thursday, to reset here, picked two in the first and two in the second. And generally, the experts/pundits around the league felt that the Celtics did okay. Danny did all right.
What if Romeo doesn't play defense that well? Will people be yelling, Romeo, wherefore art thou?
Oh, that is clever. Yeah. I tell you, you've been working. You know, by the way, you don't unconsciously.
I'm back, baby.
You really
got
are.
My energy, I'm back.
You have quoted Shakespeare now twice in the last couple hours. You said, what's done is done. That's from Macbeth. Romeo, obviously, from Romeo and Juliet. You are quite the bard of WEEI.
Could Shakespeare dunk?
He could dunk. No, I don't believe he could. I don't think
was he a ladies' man?
He was.
Or was he?
He played both sides of the floor.
Did he?
Yes, he did. Okay. He played offense and defense.
Oh, wow.
So to speak. 617-779.
Could my own self be true?
There you go. From Hamlet.
I guess he was.
You are a font of Shakespearean knowledge and wisdom today. Let's get back to the phone. 617.
Yeah, which side of the fence
quickly
you work
now.
On?
Quickly now, let's get back to the phones.
Bang!
By the way, Steve Bullpet will be with us coming up. Steve Bullpet will be here.
Bullpet
will be here at about 10:20, 10:25 or so.
He's a good man.
He'll give us his insight on what happened on Thursday night. What's to come with the Celtics? Do they have any cap space? About $25 million at this point.
He broke the Horford story.
Yep, and maybe he has some. Maybe he can tell us where he thinks Horford will go. All that coming up. But let's get back to the phones. 617-779-7937 to Charlestown we go. Rob, you're next on Sports Radio.
Rob.
Good morning, guys. Very big fan. You know, I was just listening. I wanted to make a couple of points. You were talking about the arrogance of people on the radio, and it is amazing that it actually happens. And like I said, I'm a big fan of the show, and you guys do a terrific job. But some of the guys on the show, on the various shows, think because they went to Syracuse and they have a communications degree that they're more knowledgeable than the average fan. And that's not necessarily the case, as you guys well know.
See, I think you people know far more than we do. I think that, and I'm not ashamed to admit it.
Thankfully, we can say at this radio station, believe it or not, there are no Syracuse grads at this radio station.
Jason Wolf was.
I'm just using Syracuse as an example. But the reason why I really called is I think the injury to Gordon Hayward had a bigger effect on the Celtics than people really imagine. And secondly, this is sheer ignorance on my part. I'm not a basketball guy. I went to a very good high school, basketball high school, Don Bosco in downtown Boston, and they were a very good high school basketball program. But my question is this. If the draft, as the so-called pundit said, were only three players deep, how can these people that the Celtics have drafted be an A or a B? How could that possibly be?
That is a good point. I mean, I'm not excited about any of these guys. I certainly don't know enough about them. But all we heard, and I heard Ordway talk about this for the last couple of weeks, it's a three-player draft. Everything else is a total crapshoot. It is impossible to know if any of these players that Danny picked up are going to play dividends for the Celtics at all.
Don't forget Ginobili.
And you know, you were talking about the coaching basketball. I've coached football and baseball, football at the high school and college level, and basketball is probably the sport where coaching has the least impact on players.
Good point.
I'm not saying it's not necessary, but especially a league like the NBA where it's a player-run league. And, you know, Brad Stevens is probably a very good coach. I don't know. I'm not one of those guys that's going to say eat one way or another. But he's not able to do what he can do because it's the type of league that it is. And that doesn't make him good or bad. It's just the way the league is run.
Right. And we had that conversation right before the top of the hour, Rob. I think you make a good insight. It's almost irrelevant to analyze coaches sometimes in the NBA because it really does come down to player leadership. You still need the stud. And I've said this, I've been saying it ad infinitum for the last few months. There's only about five or six great leaders in the history of the NBA that deliver championships. And you have to have one of those guys. It's really hard to do.
Rob, how hard was it with football?
How hard with coaching football?
Yeah.
It's very difficult because you have, you know, 33 positions that you need to worry about, you know, in all phases of the game. And the thing that I learned, especially as a young coach, is you have to let each coach their position. And, you know, the statement that the Patriots use of do your job. If everybody does their job, it makes life easier.
How do you being a coach, you were, how do you look at Belichick in his situation now and how is he doing it?
It's funny you say that. I don't think Bill Belichick is any better coach today than he was with the Cleveland Browns. And there's an old saying, and did Belichick make Brady or did Brady make Belichick? But the point I'm making is, you know, the old saying is that it's not the X's and O's, it's the Johnnies and Joes. I don't care how good a coach you are and how knowledgeable you are of the sport and how innovative you are. If you don't have the right people in uniform, it's irrelevant at that point.
Yeah, but what about assistants, though?
Well, I think he has so much controls the Patriots organization, and he gives his assistant so much of a rope to work with, and it's all within the confines of the system that he wants to run or what he wants to do. He has his thumbprint on everything that goes on, and if people think that Josh McDaniels is running the offense, sorry, that's not true. I mean, everything is run through Bill Belichick, and that's his role, and he's been very good at it. But it was the same thing when Belichick was with the Giants.
The
everything went yeah. no. Well, when he was an assistant with the Giants, everything went through Parcells.
Right,
that's how it works.
And Parcells,
and that's the way it is.
And Parcells was convinced. Thanks for the call, Rob. Good
thanks,
one.
Thanks, Rob. Good one.
Parcells was convinced that Belichick was never going to be an effective head coach. And I think there was a little schadenfreude when Belichick, the ballyhooed defensive coordinator, who got a lot of credit, particularly for the second Giant Super Bowl. You remember what they did to the Buffalo Bills in that Super Bowl down in Tampa. That was that, you know, that K-gun offense. Remember that, Larry,
yeah,
from 90-91?
Sure. Jim Kelly.
And,
yep.
And the Bills were heavy favorites over the Giants, who were not supposed to beat the 49ers in San Francisco and did. And Belichick got a lot of credit. And I think that Parcells was probably, you know, I think he wanted Belichick to have some success as a coach. But I think he always believed, until it really started happening on a Super Bowl level with Brady, that Belichick was really just a glorified defensive coordinator. But I think it comes down to this. You still need, obviously, a great quarterback, as Belichick and Brady have proven. But that particular sport, over the other three team sports, the head coach is the most important.
Remember that draft pick touchdown, Tommy Vidal?
Yeah, that was that happened to be Bill Belichick's.
Yeah,
back in '91, might have been his first draft pick, number 10 overall,
in his last
out of Stanford, yeah. And it wasn't a good pick. And now you got this whole Nick Caserio scenario, kind of rhymes there.
How can you trust? By the way, how can you trust somebody if they're your general manager? If you know in your heart they don't want to be there anymore,
you got to think that. And I know technically it's not a promotion. The way it works in the NFL, you have to get a promotion to leave,
yeah,
even if you're under contract.
Let him
listen.
Function.
He's not. You know him. Nick Caserio's desire to go to Houston is based on the fact he wants autonomy. He has no autonomy as the quote, director of player personnel. Yeah, he may go do all the dirty work. He may go out and find these players, and he does probably a lot of hard work. But who's ever going to – the bottom line is
–
The bottom line. Thank you, Stephen A. I'm going to now quote Harry S. Harry Truman, the buck always stops with Bill Belichick. And in order for him to – he'll never get any credit as a procurer of player personnel – when you're working on Bill Belichick's team. It's not going to work that way.
So do you blame...
I don't blame anybody. I blame the Kraft for not allowing him, or Belichick for not allowing him to go to a place. Now, technically, it's a lateral move. Player personnel director to general manager.
But he doesn't
manager.
Have the title.
But... He doesn't forget the title. The title means nothing. He can have all the titles in the world.
I want the title with the money.
But he wants the practical
credit.
Job. He wants the practical job. He wants to be a general manager in practice, not just in title. That's the problem.
And the money that goes with it.
Right. Let's get back to the phone. 617-779-7937. Our man in Dedham, Paulie, setting the
edge. Paulie!
Right here on Sports Radio WEEI. Hey, Paulie.
Hey, if you're gonna cook the meal, you might as well get to pick the groceries.
I've heard that line somewhere before.
I think Belichick's got a little bit more in the tank, you know, a little bit more mileage, you know, a little bit more knowledge and wisdom spelled than Nick Caserio. Nick will bring him, you know, a plethora of players and coaches allowed to pick. That takes the pressure off of Nick too. Hope they give him a little bump in salary and work out the wrinkles, whatever the problem is, so he stays on. I want to touch quickly on the Sox, the Celtics, and the Bruins.
Okay.
I'm going to go through as quick as I can for you. The Bruins, two mistakes, two big problems on Game 7 where Marchand missing that half of that net. All he had to do was lift the puck, that power play, to would have changed the course of the game.
And he left early.
And then he had missing that shot. And then leaving the ice early. He's crossing his blue line going to the bench.
He had to go to the bathroom.
Into his zone with just a few seconds left in the period. That and Cassidy made a big mistake in not playing Backus in Game 7, sitting Denton. I can't get my head out of my hinden, okay? Backus should have been on the ice. He was our only answer to Layla Anderson. Believe me when I tell you. That leads to the Celtics. The Celtics, I love it. I'm excited. I love the two picks. Don't like them. I love them. We're finally headed in the right direction.
Well, how do you know? How do you know anything about them?
I like what I see. I like the wingspan. I like that. They want to be here. Both of them. One guy's very intelligent. The other guy's very talented. They both want to be here. This kid's a blue chip marquee player. This kid's good. The Indiana kid. He's going to be good for us. I play him.
Romeo.
I'm
a little concerned about it. Wait a minute, Paulie. I'm a little concerned about a 6'6 shooting guard that was 27% from behind the arc.
You got to start somewhere. You got to get him his playing time. You got to play him a lot. I like bringing in Boogie Cousins. Larry, I'm with you. I've been saying this for a few days now. You probably get the best value out of Boogie. You need a big man inside who can, you know, we need plenty of muscle in the paint. He's talented. He can score. He's a veteran.
Good passer.
When these younger kids, he'll give them some confidence. They can run around him and make plays. And when somebody has to get up in the dressing room and say something, he can do that. And they'll perhaps assure him more.
Is he a free agent now?
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call, Paulie.
I take a flyer on him.
And I think Boogie's reputation, just by association, improved with him playing. I know it was tough coming back, and he didn't get the kind of minutes. He wasn't in the rotation as often as he wanted to. He went through a lot of injuries. But I do think his reputation before he came to Golden State was trouble. Underachiever, yeah. Lots of talent,
Moody,
from the shoulders down, did not have the head to be a great NBA player. I think he could help. Now, it really depends on what happens with Rozier. Do you hold on to Rozier, or do you let him go? Talking about the Celtics. Is the cap space with Rozier gone is $34 million. The cap space, if he stays as a restricted free agent, is $25 million.
I'd let him go. He was on First Take.
Did I just hear a hiccup?
No.
You were just getting just a little too big for your britches, big boy.
I want to go back to your wife and all the men she's been
617-779-7937. Mike.
Why are you turning red?
In Framingham. You're next on Sports Radio, WEEI.
Mike.
How you doing? Hey, how you doing? A couple things. Hey, Larry, you always come down on the players like when they have power. I don't know if you ever saw the America's game with the 1971 Dallas Cowboys. Dwayne Thomas was the rookie of the year, wanted a pay raise. His buddy was the rookie of the year on his team in Arizona. He got a pay raise in his team, but Dwayne Thomas got screwed over by the Cowboys, and he couldn't believe how low he was getting paid, and a bunch of the other Cowboys were getting
paid. Dwayne Thomas came here, and he wouldn't get in a three-point stance for John Mazur.
Yeah, those guys were those guys in the 70s, obviously with inflation and everything else, the dollars are different, but they were vastly and criminally underpaid in that era of professional football, no question.
And the other thing about Danny, last year at this time, everyone thought they were going to win the championship, the Celtics, and he brought the players in. So Kyrie should be the GM. He should be able to pick the players. And I know you don't like to compare it to football, but the 07 Patriots and the 2017 Patriots were probably two of the most talented Patriot teams, and neither won the Super Bowl. So sometimes you can bring in all the talent. They were saying that the Celtics had too much talent. What kind of stupid logic is that? A team has too much talent.
Well, it didn't have the right blend of talent. That was the problem, Mike, as we saw in that awful series with Milwaukee. We know that. Yeah. I mean, this was a team that was constructed on paper and not on the basketball court. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We're going to be talking to Steve Bulbett from the Boston Herald coming up about the NBA draft. More of your calls till 11 o'clock, and we're just, I don't know, Larry, could it get any uglier than it did last Saturday at 11 o'clock, that first 15, 20 minutes, Andy Hart's debut along with Mark James. That was as seriously conflictual as I think I've heard in a long time on this radio station. Where do they go from here? We shall find out coming up at 11 right here on Sports Radio, WEEI.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mustard and Johnson are rocking the Saturday Sports Talk on Sports Radio WEEI.
It's Mustard and Johnson. Sports Radio, WEEI, here at 11 o'clock. Then it's Mark C. with us. Mark C. with a C. How about Mark James with a C and Andy Hart with a Y? As the fireworks continue to unfold in that new show, they'll be live from Fenway Park, so you may be able to actually see it as it's erupting back over near the center field area. Meanwhile, we have, from the Boston Herald, the esteemed, estimable writer, the longtime veteran, a scribe of the Boston Herald, here to opine about the NBA draft and many other things, Steve Bulbett. Good morning, Steven.
Laying it on a little thick there, eh, Mustard?
By the way, I was surprised you were able to even come on. I thought you'd be completely fatigued after partying down at Gillette last night for that Luke Bryan country concert.
Missed it.
Yeah. Yeah, I figured you did after you came on the last time and blasted all modern country. Yes, you did. You ripped it apart.
Hold it. But isn't that tonight?
I believe that's the Dead & Company tonight.
Oh, I'm sorry, yeah.
Dead & Company.
You getting ready for the casino tomorrow?
Yeah, that's one of those, like, stay away until the coast is clear situations, huh?
If that will ever be.
Well, no, it'll, you know.
Well, anyway, you've been covering the Celtics for over 34 years. You've seen
that long? He's that old? 34 years? Unbelievable.
I started when I was 7, okay?
Yeah. You've seen the ups and downs of this team and the success. Have you ever experienced a season like this one, and why, in your opinion, did it happen?
Wow. It's funny. I wrote before the season started that this was all going to come down to chemistry, that there was so much talent here that you know, that part was a given. And we were we were looking. Someone pointed out to me yesterday, and we called it back up. And I said, if it doesn't, then this could be like a cleanup on aisle five situation. And it was just that. You had a lot of issues with a lot of different people. I mean, like I pointed out a day or two ago, the young guys, you know, they were, I don't think, as good as they thought they were. They got to the conference finals last year in a weakened East. And then they, you know, had the opportunity in Game 7 at home against Cleveland and scored, you know, just about 70-something points. But then you had the Kyrie element, which is just, you know, I think psychological archaeologists will, you know, years from now will be digging through that one.
Yeah, I mean, he obviously was a horror show, not necessarily as a player, but everything behind the scenes. And, you know, I don't think a lot of people, when you were questioning that chemistry, probably was concurring with your analysis. I think we were all basically thinking that this was a talent-laden team, as you said, a decimated East with LeBron going west to the Lakers. And it really, it was a fait accompli. The Celtics were going to the NBA Finals, probably going to play Golden State, and they were going to return to glory. Where did you see this chemistry starting to become an issue for the Celtics? When did you see it?
Well, early in the season, but I think I wrote this and stuff runs together, excuse me, during this past week, is that I think we kind of missed the boat on it a little bit, because when you're covering the team every day, you're looking for, you know, a sign that they're going to live up to the sum of their parts. And, you know, and you'd see these little issues, but say, okay, but, you know, at some point you figure they've got to get over this. They've got to get over themselves. They've got to get over their individual issues. And it never, ever happened to the degree it needed to. I mean, we saw it even into the playoffs. That first round series against Indiana, the Celtics were a real basketball team in that series. Now, granted, Indiana was, you know, weakened, no Victor Oladipo, et cetera, but the Celtics played that series together. And then in game one against Milwaukee, you know, they crushed Milwaukee in game one. They played the tough game. And you figure, well, okay, you know, I guess Kyrie was right. You know, while all year long, Brad Stevens is saying, hey, look, you need to get better every day. This is a process. And Kyrie was saying, heck with that. You know, wake me when the playoffs start. We'll show who we are, and I'll show who I am. We were thinking maybe Kyrie was right on that. And then game two happens. They get hit in the mouth, and then they went away. And I'll tell you, the Bucks were surprised at how easily the Celtics folded. It was just amazing. It ended up being that Brad was right. You needed to have that foundation of, you know, of strength, of consistent, we're playing well together basketball, and it wasn't there for them when they needed it.
Speaking of Brad, some people question as good as Brad has been with young players going to the NBA Eastern Conference Finals, Game 7 last year against Cleveland, may not have the personality to deal with the NBA alpha star. Do you see it that way, or is Brad as good as most people think he is?
I think Brad Stevens is a very good coach, and I'd be loath to put on him what happened this year. When you put forth a plan and the players know that the plan works because, you know, moving the ball offensively, the proper rotations defensively, that stuff, and they go out on the floor and show that it works. And then when you, as players, go away from that, then, you know, who's to blame there? And it's like, well, can the coach get him to do it? I think what happened this year was, and I did write this week, is that it was a matter of trust. These guys would go out and they'd play really well, and they'd look, you know, they'd be happy with each other and all that, but then someone would break a play on offense, or someone would miss a rotation on defense, and the trust would just fly out the window. It was weird to watch, but you know, it's funny. I go back out to my school and teach for a week every year. And last September when I was out, the basketball coach at Dayton, you know, don't blame him for this, but he asked me to, I guess he should blame him for it. He asked me to speak to the team, and I'm thinking, what can I tell him? And what I came up with was, look, I've seen in the NBA that the teams that win, and you guys will win when you play for each other. When you play because you don't want to let your teammate down because you want their respect. And you know, I never thought that I'd come home and watch a team watch the other side example of that so thoroughly as I did this past year.
Yeah, no question. So what happens here? We have the NBA draft on Thursday, Steve. How do you assess the two first-round picks and the two second-round picks? Are they going to be helpful in the coming season, or are they all projects?
The honest answer is I don't think anybody that, unless they're real college basketball junkies, has watched these guys enough. I can tell you what I've heard. You know, obviously the thing with Langford that sticks out is that not a very good outside shooter. The question there is how much of that was on the fact that he had a badly injured thumb during the season. The kid, Grant Williams, looks like that kind of stuff, that kind of toughness usually translates very well very early to the NBA, so we'll see about that. But, you know, I wouldn't know enough to be able to tell you it's a great draft or a bad draft. I will say this, though, just the bottom line with this team is that before what you see now for a quote-unquote roster and what you see on opening night in October are probably going to look vastly different.
Hmm. You broke the story about Horford wanting out. Do you feel definitely that Irving and Horford are gone? And if that be the case, where do you think the best place for Horford to go?
Well, I don't think Horford wanted out. He wanted to stay. And I think I was reporting like last month that his side's idea was we will not opt into the last year of this contract at $30 million. We'll not take that option. But we'll come in at a more team-friendly number this year if you tack on two more years. Mm. And I think the Celtics and Horford's people were kind of heading toward that. And then another team, and I think it's I just tweeted out about it. I think it's I was hearing all along, either the Clippers or Dallas,
mm-hmm.
You know, would be that team for them. And I think someone's going to go 4 years or 3 years at very strong money. Excuse me, I apologize. So I think that's what happened. I think Al liked Boston. I think he liked the situation here. But when someone's going to throw that kind of money at you, and particularly I think if it's the Clippers and the Clippers are able to get Kawhi Leonard as well, to go there for more money and a clearer chance to contend for a championship than what you're going to have with the Celtics, that's, you know, I don't think he could refuse an offer like that, even though technically the Clippers or Dallas or whomever isn't allowed to make any offers yet. They're not even allowed to talk to him allegedly until June 30th.
I know Danny's recovering from his heart attack, and we all collectively wish him the very best as far as his health is concerned. But where is, in your opinion, where is his mind right now? And I mean, he was in the direction of building a very nice team here, and now he's got to come out with the dustpan and broom and do some cleaning up and then rebuild again, I guess. What do you think?
Well, I hadn't spoken to him. He seems to be in a pretty good place. But I hadn't spoken to him since before the heart attack until the draft. And I just, you know, we exchanged a text message like, you know, hope you're doing okay. Mm. And he responded with something like, you know, doing fine. We need to go on a plant-based diet and nothing from Bill Walton's garden.
What is in Bill Walton's garden? A lot of it's probably legal now, isn't it?
Yeah, well, to which I replied that, you know, this was during the series against Milwaukee, to which I replied that I wasn't into that stuff, but it appeared that a package addressed to Chief had wound up in the Celtics.
I wonder if Walton's going to be down there at Dead & Company at Gillette tonight.
But I think it's in today's paper, he seems, I think, kind of relieved that it's back to being about basketball. As much as the people in the locker room and Brad, you know, had to deal with what went on last year, you know, Danny did too. Danny's the one getting calls from, you know, from agents and things like that, you know, about their clients that are on the team. I think he's just, you know, happy to be trying to recreate a roster now. I don't think he expected what happened this past year. I'm not sure anyone could, because as you know, out there as Kyrie could be, the previous year they'd done very well with him until he was injured and out for the year. But you know, things had gone pretty well, and he had, you know, now you're bringing him back and Gordon Hayward back, and you've got younger guys that have more experience, some deep playoff experience. I don't think anyone, you know, I think they knew it was going to be a little bit hard to get the pieces to fit necessarily, but I don't think anyone was expecting this, especially, you know, after Kyrie comes out and says what he did at that fan fest thing with the ticket holders. You know, maybe that, I think everyone knew then that still hinged on what kind of year happened. But then Kyrie does the Nike commercial where he's the one that wrote the line about the, you know, not wanting anyone else to, he wanted to be the reason no one else wore number 11 for the Celtics. Mm. Now I think it's quite possible no one ever will, because that number might be declared a Superfund toxic waste site.
How about number 12? Will number 12 be returning next year, Terry Rozier, or are they going to let him go?
I think that's going to come down to numbers. Terry's obviously, he's a restricted free agent. We'll see what kind of offers he gets out there. His market might be a little bit decreased because of the year he had, though I wouldn't necessarily think it's entirely his own fault. But if his numbers decreased, he might come back like on a 1-1 situation and try to rebuild his value. I could see that happening, but you know, they've got a big chunk now of free agent money, and I'm not sure there's anybody out there that's gettable that they could use it on. So that may get postponed. So
yeah, that was my next question. If they keep Rozier, they have 25. If they let him go to restricted free agency, they have 34. And, you know, a couple of callers were suggesting Boogie or people like that. Do you think that's a possibility at all?
I wouldn't think you'd see DeMarcus Cousins here. No, I mean, he's got his own issues, and among them are the injury situation. He's been, you know, hurt quite a bit. I don't think you put the, you know, eggs in that kind of a fragile basket.
No question.
But, you know, it's hard to see right now. You know, I think you've got a pretty good, it's definitely still a rebuild. I don't care. Maybe we're getting into semantics here, but you've got a pretty good base of young players, and I'm going to be really interested to see what Jason Tatum looks like. It's going to be his third year. We know he has the skills to, you know, to be a heavy production guy. But you know, who's going to dribble and who's going to be standing in the middle to prevent other people from driving on you?
Taco.
Someone had tweeted out that Bowl Bowl and Taco Fall equals Taco Bowl.
Oh, nice. Oh. See what you did there. Yeah, very nice.
No, I didn't do it. Trust me. It was someone, you know, you got to dig that. Draft night quality humor.
Last question from me, just quickly, but how do you summarize Brown and Tatum going forward?
It's kind of an open-ended question.
I think they're both, I mean, look, obviously Tatum is, you know, a wonderful scorer, and we'll see how his full game develops. And I think Jaylen Brown has taken steps forward each year. This past year, I know he struggled early on, and I think he had struggles with the Kyrie situation. And when he came back from, I think from All-Star break, he basically said that he'd come to some certain understandings with himself. And I think he did a really good job after that of leaving behind any intramural issues on the team and just went out and played basketball. But, you know, he's a good player. I mean, but everybody kind of needs to be judged in context, right? What's around him? Is what's around him conducive to, you know, to his game? If you've got guys that can, in today's NBA, if you've got guys that can set up on the perimeter and can stroke the three-pointer, then guys like Tatum with his mid-range game and guys like Jaylen Brown with his moves to the basket, you know, life becomes easier for them.
Mm. Well, it's their team now with Kyrie gone. It will be interesting, and we appreciate the insight as always, Mr. Bullpep. Catch you next time.
Good to speak with you guys.
Thanks, Steve. Right. Steve Bullpep of the Boston Herald joining us on Sports Radio WEEI.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Let's get you back to more of Mustard and Johnson on Sports Radio WEEI.
The bottom line is this: you suck on the air and radio.
I'm fine with that.
Okay, that's fine.
I don't care about your opinion.
I would do a better show for 4 hours without you.
I know.
Than I would
see,
with
that's
you.
Where you're at. You want to do a show alone.
Well, yeah,
that's your thing.
No, I would rather do it with Dickerson, but I know I would do a much better show without you than
why?
I would
if
with
you're
you.
So good, why can't you carry me?
Well, I don't need you. I could do a better
no,
show
no, no,
without
why
you.
Why can't you carry me? You're so good. No, but, you should be able to lift those. But, it's like when a receiver comes to New England,
but
Brady will make him better.
I'm
with the great Mark James. He filled in for Jim Rome.
You could leave right now.
I know I could,
but and I wouldn't need you.
But I'm not going.
If I walked out of the studio.
You know who needs me?
Could you do a solo show?
You know who...
I'll tell you, the rancor was wild last week. First 15 minutes, maybe the first, then the best 15 minutes I've ever heard for the first time. Andy Hart, Mark James coming together, and it was nothing but nitro and glycerin. They went after each other, tooth and nail. They ripped each other from pillar to post, just like the glory days of Mustard and Johnson, and I loved every last minute of it.
You mean when you used to carry me?
Yes, exactly.
Before your back went out?
And everything else went out. Believe me, that was just one of many. And we expect more of the same from Mark with a C and Andy with a Y coming up. And this time, they're going to have a live audience there because people on Yawkey Way, there's just no possible way you're going to want to miss this action. Our broadcast booth, if you don't know, is right next to the Blues Club. What's the name of that Blues Club over there?
Oh, man.
What's that? What's the name of that blues club there? You know what it's called.
Right? House of Blues.
House of Blues. Thank you.
Wow, that's
House
creative.
Of Blues, right across from the House of Blues. Nice big picture window, and you will see Mark James and Andy Hart going at it again.
Can you throw peanuts at them?
I beg your pardon?
peanuts.
Are you suggesting they look like elephants? Is that what you're saying?
No, there's only one who has that handle.
Yeah, so this is going to be, it will be another wild show, no doubt. They'll probably also have some opinions about the NBA draft. They'll be taking your telephone calls. But we shall see what happens in show number two after a very auspicious start, to say the least.
Especially when they had Dickerson on Monday.
Yeah, Dickerson's back too.
I love Dickerson.
But Mark James, let's face it, he has a very bad reputation of leaving co-hosts in his wake. He had John Tomasi for a while. He had Evan Drellick for a while. He had Dickerson for a while.
I miss Tomasi over here. Yep. I don't like him.
I just don't know if
I don't like his new role at all.
What do you mean? He likes his new role. He's on television.
Well, he's
excellent.
Probably making a little more. I know that, but I like hearing.
You're just jealous because you want to be on TV.
No, I don't. I've had my day in the sun.
Now, I do miss John here. As a matter of fact, I really missed him when he was filling in. I really missed him when he was filling in for you.
Yeah, how come you're not on that show?
I did get a an interview once, and I could tell they didn't want. They said, "Hey, you had a." No matter what happens, you have a really good show over at WEEI. Yeah. That was my parting words.
Something about don't let the door hit
exactly.
you in the back.
Don't let the door hit.
No, seriously, though, how come you're not on there?
What's that?
How come you're not on?
Because they were not interested. They invited me over one day about 4 or 5 years ago.
You that they wouldn't be interested?
I don't know. I didn't pass the audition, apparently. Kenny in Cambridge, you're next on Sports Radio, WEEI. Hey, Kenny.
Kenny!
Hello. Hey, how are you guys?
Good.
What's up?
So I have a couple of quick comments for as far as Mark, whatever his name is.
Mark C. James.
Yeah. You know, I know you are, but what am I? That's all I could think of when I think when I listen to the guy. I feel like I'm 10 years old. I know you are, but what am I? That's all I really want to waste time on with that guy.
I like him.
But I think I love the fact that Andy Hart came in here for the first time overcoming any nerves or jitters or anything anything else.
Like an old
and just
pro.
Went right at him. Just went right at him. No holes barred. Yeah. That's good radio. That's what we want to see, Ken. We want to see conflict.
I know, but speaking of conflicts, I've said this to you before, Craig, and I still believe this is all of Kyrie is Kyrie. Everybody knows what a weird dude he is and how great he is. But you know, the way you dump on him, he's not an alpha. He's a beta.
That's not dumping on him. That's no, understanding his role. That's not dumping.
Tell me one other. It was the reason, in my mind, the reason the Celtics imploded. Really, if you want to look backwards on this, and I know it's hindsight, but I think the beginning of the end was when Danny Ainge traded for Gordon Hayward. He should have thought about...
He signed him as a free agent, didn't trade him, but that's okay.
Free agent. Okay, but, you know, that's where all the problems came. And then the minute Gordon Hayward got hurt, there were problems because players, the trust factor is players want to know that if they play hard in practice, they're going to play. And they were, and Gordon Hayward wasn't as good as they were and he played. And that was the end.
No, I agree. I think that was a problem as well. No question about it. And Bulpet alluded to it earlier. The worst thing that ever happened to that young player core was going to Game 7 against Cleveland a couple of years ago.
Right.
They thought
right.
they were better than they actually were. That was a factor as well. They had a lot of cleaning up to do. There is a cleanup in aisle 5 that has to be done, and we shall see what happens. Kenny, listen, I'm running out of time. I'm getting the exit music. I do appreciate the call. That's going to do it for us, Mr. Johnson.
Hey, I hope you have fun.
I'm going to go down to the Travelers down in Cromwell, Connecticut.
Check out about an hour from here.
It's about an hour and a half or so. Beautiful course, great spectating course. You've never been down there. You should check it out one of these days. Local product, Keegan Bradley, only a couple strokes behind, so I'll go check out him. Go see my buds down in Connecticut. Rest of you, have a great weekend. It's going to be sunny for the whole weekend. Nothing but sunshine and mid-70s, high 70s.
Every now and then you got to do something like that.
Thanks to John Anderson on the other side of the glass.
Great job, John.
Mark with a C, Andy with a Y. Oh, no, here they come. Sports Radio, WEEI. Bye.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.